Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Faith says, no matter what I've been through, no matter what I've experienced, God is greater than all that. And if I'll take a step, He'll take a step towards me and it'll be better than I've ever experienced.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's grandson, Jeremy Pearson's today on the Believer's Voice of Victory as he teaches us how to look to the Word of God and live with vision. It's a choice that only you can make. Now, here's Jeremy.
I want to read this to you again out of the book of Psalms, chapter 27, verses 13 and 14, where we left off yesterday. David wrote and said, I would have lost heart. I would have given up. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have quit unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said in verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, all of last week and again yesterday, we're talking about finding ourselves fit for the Master's use, ready for Him, useful to Jesus. He loves you, yes, and He's called you, yes. But you need to find out, are you in a shape or are you in condition where He can actually use you? Many are called, few are chosen. I would say it like this, many are called, few are fit for the Master's use. So that's what we've been talking about getting into that kind of shape. You know what He needs? When He says, I want you fit, like the Lord spoke to me last year, I want you fit by 40. I'm 37 years old, got this window of time now to get myself into shape. He's not just talking about this outward condition. He's not just talking about my physical condition. He's talking to me about what's going on inside. Jeremy, there's something coming in your life that's going to require you to be in a stronger shape spiritually than you're in right now. So what are you going to do to get into shape? Well, I can tell you a few things I've already begun doing. Simple things, getting up earlier. Oh, you didn't want to hear that, did you? Well, I have been. I'm getting up while the clock still says 5-something, and that has taken some strength. But it has revolutionized my walk with the Lord. Just spending a little extra time, a little extra time. What am I doing? I'm getting into shape. Getting into shape. Why? Something's coming. Something's coming. Something's coming. Right on the other side of that, I have to realize that what He's saying is, you're not ready. I can't bring it into your life right now because you're not in shape for it. So we're getting into shape. And what He's looking for, more than a strong body, more than someone strong physically, more than someone who's strong financially, He's looking for someone who's got a strong heart. That's someone who's usable to Him. That's someone He can use. Give me a strong heart. He's like, I can work with everything else. We can change anything and everything else as long as you have a strong heart, one that won't quit. And Jesus said, men's hearts fail them for fear because of the expectation, He said, of the things to come. That's what fear yields. Fear yields an expectation called worry. Faith yields an expectation called hope. Fear, worry is the resulting expectation of fear. And worry says, it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad. Faith has an expectation called hope that says, it's going to be good, it's going to be good, it's going to be good. So which one of these two platforms is your life built on? The platform of fear yielding worry or faith yielding hope? A strong heart, a heart full of faith. That's what God's after. That's what He's looking for. That's the shape that we've got to be in. And we were talking on yesterday's broadcast about just some of my own experience with some of this. You know, the Lord instructing Sarah and I in our ministry, I want you flying your own airplane. We've got great examples of my family who have demonstrated that for us. We've experienced it ourselves. 6, almost 7 years ago, we launched out into our own ministry, and right away the Lord gave us an airplane. Awesome, Cessna 421, Golden Eagle, man. We flew that thing all over the nation. couple of years after that, another individual sowed a jet into our ministry. We flew that thing everywhere. And since that time, we've sown both of those airplanes into other ministries and believe in God for our harvest on it. But you know what? It's been a couple of years or more now, believing God for the airplane. Lord, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Well, I had to go back to him telling me, Jeremy, I want you to start flying again. See, I had flown, I'd gone through flight school years and years ago and gave up on it. Even after I'd gotten my pilot's license and my multi-engine ticket and my instrument license, you know, I lacked confidence. I didn't feel like I was good at it. Didn't feel like I was cut out for it. Interesting we use that phrase, isn't it? Cut out for it. Think about somebody who cuts something out. It's they're cutting out a shape because that shape is supposed to fit into a specific calling or a specific assignment. And I didn't feel like I was cut out. I didn't think I was in a mental shape to be able to fly an airplane. I didn't get the same thing Kenneth Copeland got, that natural desire to fly. And so I just kind of walked away from it. But years later, the Lord's telling me, you got to go back. And then I told you about just some of my experience with it, really bad first solo. But I walked away, praise God. Some of the things I didn't tell you, though, you know, long after, I shouldn't say long, it's not long at all, after your first pattern solo where you do those touch and goes, then it's time to cross country solo. And you know, so your instructor does a few with you where you fly to different airports and you come back home, and then it was time to solo. Well, I was taking my training here in Fort Worth at Meacham Airport, which is not far from where KCM is, right down Highway 287. Meacham Airport's located right on 287. And in your cross-country solos, you have to do one or more legs of 50 nautical miles or more. So I had such a total lack of confidence that you know what I did? I found an airport that was also located on 287 that was 51 nautical miles away. And so what I did was took off out of Meacham right there on Highway 287 and basically just drove from one airport to the other. I had no confidence in my ability to navigate an airplane. As long as I could see that highway, I knew I was in the right place. Then finally one day I thought, you know what, at some point I'm going to have to fly to another airport. So I plotted a course and tried to plan it all out just right. Kid you not, 30 minutes into that flight, I am so lost. None of my checkpoints look right. What I'm looking at out of the window doesn't look like what's on my sectional chart. And man, listen to me, you've never sweat until you've been lost in an airplane by yourself. And I was just cranking out the sweat. I'm like, dear Lord, where am I? And it's not like you can pull over, right? You can't pull over and ask for directions. Excuse me, can you tell me how to get back to the highway? It's not gonna work like that. By the grace of God and with some help from air traffic control, found out where I was, made it back to the airport. Flight instructor was waiting in the lobby of the school. Hey, how'd it go? Fine. Just walked right past him to the car, didn't tell him, and for a long time didn't tell anybody. Just really put fear in my heart, put a lot of fear in me. So much so that to the point years later when the Lord says, Jeremy, I want you to start flying again, I just flat out told him no. I said, I'm just not gonna do it. I'm afraid. When I finally got honest though, and I said it out loud, I was honest with Sarah, I was honest with myself, I was honest with the Lord. I'm not doing it because I haven't done it because I'm afraid. I knew enough to not let that fear keep me from the plan of God. And I made the decision, I'm not going to let my past experience limit my expectation of the future. See, so many people right now are afraid to step into the call of God on their lives, not because of the future, but because of the past. They are letting what's already happened be the limit to their expectation. They're allowing their experience to limit expectation. Man, I hope you're tracking with me on that, because that's where so many people are living right now today. They are letting their past experience limit their expectation. And if that's you, then you need to know there's no faith in that. And if there's no faith in it, then you can't please God being stationary in that place. And there are people who refuse to take that step of courage. You know how much courage it took for me just to go get back in the airplane? When I made that decision, okay, Lord, I'll be obedient to you. And the Lord brought me a flight instructor. And I got back in the airplane with him. And from the time we cranked that engine up, I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord came all over me. He and I took off. And those first few flights together, he said, "You're really good at this." And I'm thinking, man, if you only knew what a miracle that was. And he said, "Man, it's really coming back to you." And we got out there and we did that pattern work, and we did touch and go after touch and go after touch and go. And we did steep turns and we did stalls and we did climbing stalls and power on and power off and all this stuff. And it just came back. And he said, "You are doing great." It was no time after that he signed my endorsement. I got my solos checked out, and now I'm working on my commercial ticket. Do you know what a miracle this is? But it had to be the result of my heart getting strong. I had to take that step of courage, go get back in the airplane, and the moment I did, he strengthened my heart to do what he told me to do. And now there is so much expectation in my heart right now and in Sarah's. The next airplane that the Lord has for this ministry, I'm telling you, it is right around the corner. I'll be bold enough to say the next time you and I see each other, it seems so real to me, I'll have that airplane. It's coming, man. It's coming. The Lord's already talking to me about it right now, and we are ready. We are so close. Do you hear that? We're ready. We're ready. I wasn't ready. The whole time I was being disobedient and not getting back in the airplane, I wasn't ready. The Lord's saying, "Jeremy, you should see the airplane I've got for you. It's beautiful. You'd love it, but you're not ready for it. It's a gift of my grace. It's because I love you. I want you to have it. I need you to have it, but I can't give it to you because you're not ready for it." So what makes me ready for that? Strong heart. Strong heart's where it started. Amen? So that's what had to happen in me. Despite all my experience, I couldn't let that limit my expectation for the future. Now, there are people who, when it comes to the future, are stuck not living and not walking and not talking by faith for two reasons, mostly. The first one is they believe that it won't be better. They believe that because of their past, there's no reason to believe that the future would be any better. And that's no faith. Faith says, no matter what I've been through, no matter what I've experienced, God is greater than all that. And if I'll take a step, He'll take a step towards me and it'll be better than I've ever experienced. That's what faith says. And that's why we looked at the life of Abraham last week and how he did not consider the decades of Sarah's infertility. He didn't consider his own body now dead. He wasn't focusing on all of that. The past had nothing to do with his future. But there are people right now stuck believing that it won't be better. Right on the other hand, there are people who are stuck believing that it couldn't get better. There are people who look around at their life right now and they think, "You know what? I like this. I like the house we're in. I like the cars in the driveway. The Lord's been good. I got my wife. I got my 2.5 children. You know, bills are paid. This is wonderful." And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God starts speaking to him. And he says, "I want you to move. I want you to leave all of this. I want you to, not your family, but, you know, leave the stuff, leave where you're comfortable. And I want you and your family to take a step of faith out here into something that I'll show you as you go, something that you don't see just yet." And there are people who refuse to take that step, believing that it couldn't get better. There are those that believe it won't get better and those that believe it can't get better. Both of them are no faith. They're no faith. But I want to encourage you today, wherever you are in that, don't let your experience limit your expectation. Because as long as you live with that mindset, you're not fit for His use. You're not ready for the work. And here's what you've got to understand, and I'm going to say this, and I believe this thought, this concept is going to really begin to take us into the next broadcast over the next several days. Matter of fact, go with me. You're in Psalms. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, I believe it is. Proverbs 29. Listen to this out of Proverbs 29, verse 18. You've heard this before. It says, "Where there is no revelation," that's the New King James. I think it's the King James Version that says, "Where there is no vision." So these two things are the same thing. Vision in Revelation. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Again, other translations say the people perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Still other translations say where there is no divine guidance. So that's what we're talking about here. This vision for your life, it comes as a revelation and it comes as Holy Spirit inspired guidance for you. Take this step here, take that step there. We're talking about being in shape and ready, fit for the Master's use. But there's something you've got to understand about vision. And you understand it when you ask yourself this question in light of this verse. Why would anybody live without vision? Why would anybody choose to live without a revelation from God of what He's called them to do? Again, remember, useful to the Master, prepared for the work. What good work? What great work? The work He's called you to do. And it's out of a revelation of that job and that assignment, that's the vision for your life. Now, why on earth would anybody choose to live without that? And I think it's for one reason. It's because vision creates need. Now, bear with me. I know maybe you didn't expect to hear that. Maybe not on this broadcast, but just bear with me here. Vision creates need, especially a vision from God. A vision from God will always put you in a place and will always require something of you that's bigger than what you're able to reach in your pocket today and just pay for. And you've probably already experienced that, but a vision from God... I'll say it to you like this. He has no problem and no qualms whatsoever putting you in a place that requires faith. He has no issues with that. I know I've experienced that. Thank you, Lord. You put me right in a place where I got to get something done, and the only way to get it done is total, complete, and utter dependence on you. And He has no problem whatsoever putting you in a position that requires faith. Because as long as your life and your vision can be met by you reaching in your back pocket and paying for it, you're not thinking big enough. If you're able to meet the needs of your own vision always at all times and it's no stretch, then you're not thinking big enough. Let me challenge you, think bigger, dream bigger, and let the vision that God has for your life, let it create a need. And I think sometimes when people have heard faith and they've heard messages on faith, particularly those on prosperity, they automatically assume that the end result here is that I get to a place where I don't have any needs anymore. That's the goal. I just want to get to a place where I don't have any needs. That's not really the point. Because if you don't have any needs, you don't have any vision. But the difference is God will put you in a place, yes, it will create a need, but what He expects is you to come to Him with the need. Not for you to try to meet it on your own, but for you to come to Him with the need. That's the position He wants to put you in. And people choose to live without vision for one reason, because it creates a need. And when they see, they get a glimpse of the vision, the thing that God has called them to do, the purpose for their life. They see how big it is. They see how wide it is and how far-reaching it may be. They look at that, then they look back at where they are, and they look at that, and they look back at where they are, and they think, that's too much ground to cover. There's no way I could pay for that. There's no way I could ever provide for that. There's no way I could ever live long enough to do that and accomplish that. And so they choose to live without the vision because simply they're afraid of the need it creates. And there are people who think they're praying in humility when they sit around the kitchen table with them and their kids and say, Lord, we're not asking for much. We're not asking for all that prosperity stuff, all those preachers and all that stuff that they preach. We're not asking for that, Lord. We just want food on the table and clothes on our back. That's all we're asking for. And they think it's humility, when really, it's complete and total selfishness. Because if that's all you ever have, who can you impact? Who can you have a difference on, make a difference in? Who are you going to impact if all you ever had is food on your plate? And it's as though they expect God to come to them and say, wow, thank you. Thank you for your complete, total, and utter lack of faith in my ability. Wow, I'm so blessed by that. No, no. God is honored when you ask big. God is thrilled when you dream big and you go to Him before you go to anyone or anything else. And you say, God, I'm looking to you to meet this need. You're the one who gave the vision. You're the one who put this in my heart. That's wonderful. You know as well as I do, I ain't got money in the bank or in my back pocket to do it, but you do. And I look at how big you are. I look at how good you are. And how you've brought me through every time. If you'll choose to live with that vision, then you'll take a step of faith into it, refusing to let experience limit the expectation. You're not stuck there saying, how could we ever do that if we've never done this? You're not stuck there saying, how can it be that good? It's never been that good before. You're not stuck there believing that. You're not stuck there saying, wow, it's already too good. How could it possibly get better than this? God say, no, come on, come on, come on, come on. Get out here with me in this. Take a step. Get out of that boat and walk on this water with me. Let my word put foundation underneath your feet. The same way I spoke to Peter when he said, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come. And I said, come. He stepped out of that boat and people think he walked on water. He walked on the word. He walked on that word that Jesus gave him to come. Walking on faith will always give you something to walk on. Walking by faith always gives you something to walk on. Lillian B. Yeoman said it best when she said, God delights in His children stepping out over the aching void with nothing beneath their feet but the Word of God. Get a picture of what that is. Stepping out over the edge of that cliff and nothing underneath your feet but God and His Word. His Word that created a vision for you. So what is the vision? Find out what the vision is and begin right now taking steps towards it. Don't let your experience limit your expectation. Go for it. That's what I'm here telling you today. Go for it. Whatever you've been dreaming about, take a step towards it. And maybe it seems way down the road. I remember, I'll leave you with this, but I remember one day I asked my grandmother, Gloria, Sarah and I had all these dreams for ministry. And we said, Mimi, how do we get from where we are to where we see God's called us to be? And you know what she said? Just keep walking. That was it. I love the simplicity of it. Just keep walking. How are you going to get from where you are to where God's called you to be? Just keep walking.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.